Welcome to another episode of DC Close Up, where we focus on the DC issues that matter now and those that shape the long term. I'm Leslie Ann Morgan, Global Head of DC in L&G's asset management business. In our last episode, one of our own personal highlights was how we've combined data, technology, and behavioral science to drive real action and outcomes for our members. And today, I'm delighted to be joined by Jenny Hazan to delve into this topic in more detail. Jenny is our Director of Customer Strategy and Engagement and the driving force behind our innovation in this space. She'll be well known to many of you, I'm sure, whether it's from speaking at industry events or from her latest media insight. Welcome, Jenny.
Thanks, Leslie, and I'm delighted to be here.
So, Jenny, we've talked about engagement in DC for many years, but I've said before, and I'll say it again, I'm pretty sure people don't get up in the morning and say, wonder how my pension's doing today. So, what is the real problem that we're trying to solve for here?
So the real challenge in DC is actually adequacy. Auto enrollment's really helped with participation, particularly amongst employed workers, but we still see, you know, latest research, our decades ahead research shows that 41% of people aged between 25 and 55 are not on track for the retirement income they need. So this is a really important conversation to be having. We really need to make that shift towards action over awareness to drive those better outcomes and actually make sure that people have enough to have the retirement that they need.
Yes, I was at that research launch event and I found it to be a real rallying moment for the industry. But why do you think it is that people disengage so much that we're facing this issue of people not having saved enough for retirement?
I think the reality is, as an industry, we've really over-indexed sometimes on education, that we can educate people into better outcomes. But the reality is there's much more going on under the surface behind that. So when people think of pensions, and yes, they don't wake up in the morning and think, gosh, I must check my pension this morning. You know, when people think about some of these emotionally complex ideas, big decisions, they feel overwhelming. Mm-hmm. They might feel distant and in the future. And ultimately what we see there is it's not that people don't care. It's that there are these emotional connections to the decisions that people need to make. And so it's really about how we can break that down, make it more simple, actually make it relevant to what people are experiencing at that point in time. That's what's going to make the difference in terms of people being able to act earlier and therefore retire better.
Okay. And I think you've got some interesting stats around compounding as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So when we think about, you know, someone who's 47, so midlife, although that's quite a scary thought, isn't it? Midlife, someone that hadn't saved before, paying an 8% contribution from 47 to 67 would actually give them a pot of around about £116,000, which when combined with the state pension, you're talking about just over £19,000 a year. So time is really, really critical here. And it does mean that it's not too late.
Yeah, I think that really shows the power of that compounding there. I have heard you say before, Jenny, that engagement is not just about how many clicks or how much content. And you just mentioned there, it's not necessarily about better education either, although yeah, some people might not agree with that. What are the kind of the myths around engagement that you'd also like to retire? No pun intended.
Yeah, absolutely. So we say great engagement isn't about clicks or content. It is about building up confidence, changing behavior, and creating that positive momentum that really allows people to take action. But in addition to that, the other myth that I'd like to bust is that segmentation and insight is really just about demographics. So someone's age, maybe their marital status, what they have in their pension pot, their broader finances. Now, that is important information for us to understand, and it tells us a partial picture of who someone is. But what it doesn't tell us is how someone's going to behave and act around money and future decisions. Doesn't tell us where someone's likely to get stuck. It doesn't anticipate the challenges or barriers that they might have whilst trying to make decisions. And if we sort of center back in on adequacy and making those decisions, it's really important that we remove that friction. So really understanding the behavior is right. Absolutely critical.
Yeah, we do talk a lot about generations in DC. Yeah. How important as a lens is that really for those behaviors and outcomes?
So I think generations are really important because they give us that contextual element around the cultural and societal elements of that particular generation. So I'll give you an example again. If we think about those midlifers, 40s to 50s, sorry for them, but, you know, DB was pretty much gone for them and auto enrollment came later. So they're that stuck generation in the middle. They're also more likely to have a mortgage by the time that they retire, so having not paid it off, or they might be more likely to be renting as well. And so these are important contextual elements that tell us about the structural challenges people might be facing into. But again, it doesn't tell us where people are going to get stuck, where they're going to find friction. And if you just imagine two 45-year-olds who potentially have the same income, same pension pot size, they can behave very differently. So one may feel more confident with day-to-day finances. They're more confident looking for information that helps them to build out plans. The other may be very much, you know, confused, overwhelmed, and thinking, do you know what, I'm just not going to even look at it. And there is a group of people who we would term sleepwalkers. So people who actually probably feel quite positive in their 40s, early 50s. And it's not until they get to the point of having to make a big decision that then it suddenly strikes them that, gosh, this is huge. This is overwhelming. So I think this is what's really important is generations can give us some of that structural information, but we really need to understand people deeply in terms of the behaviours and the way that they act in order to reduce that friction and help them to act.
Yes. Let's just touch on that behaviours point that you talked about there, because I think we covered this in some research last year. I found this completely fascinating because I think we can see kind of our friends and our family and sometimes ourselves in some of the behaviors. Talk us through kind of the top three common behavioral biases that impact pension behaviors.
Yes. So we spent time with people in their day-to-day lives during this research. And I think the three that really stand out to me, social proof. And what that means is some people are looking to see what others are doing before they make decisions.
So for it's comfort.
Exactly. To know that they're not on their own, that they've got that connectivity with others. And so it's really important for us to think about how people respond to others' stories, seeing what others do. Interestingly, it's one of the top questions that we get in our customer service center is, you know, what do others do?
Oh, really? Wow.
The second one I would say is ostrich bias. So when decisions feel complex, overwhelming, or emotionally resonating in some way, we often see some people will choose to stick their head in the sand, hence the ostrich term. And so what's really important there is us being able to break down decisions into very simple, logical, step-by-step, what next versus everything that you need to do right now. So it's really important that we think very carefully about that ostrich bias because it shows up a lot. And then the third one I would say is we tend to overvalue the present over the future. And that's really important when we think about, you know, investing in a pension for the long term. But people have day-to-day lives. You know, we must remember there are people behind these pensions. It shouldn't be product focused. It should be people focused. And so we need to consider what's happening for people right now, you know, balancing act of kids, family, caring for parents, changing careers, you know, even just the world in general. It can be quite overwhelming. So it's no wonder that pensions slip down the list. So again, it's how do we make sure that the right journeys are in place to feel, help people feel supported as they go through these different stages. And by the way, it changes over time as well. It's not static. Right. And then I think the final thing I would just mention is this say-do gap. So what we often see consistently in research is people will say one thing, you know, be that I really want to feel secure in my retirement, but then the choices that they make actually do the opposite of that. They'll choose something that's more flexible or immediate. The same with it's the top of my list. I'm absolutely going to do something. I must check X, Y, Z. And then, you know, life happens. The microwave goes off. The doorbell goes off. You have a whole list of things that you're trying to, you know, fix in the house. And so we need to be really cognizant of that, not just focused on what we think people should be doing, but what is actually happening for them right now in their lives.
Yeah, what their real life is.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So if we bring this back to adequacy, how does that change how we think about engagement?
Yeah, so I think it actually flips the script, because if we think about adequacy and long-term behaviours, we've really got to be able to understand, identify those behaviours, respond to the moment in the right way as well, because otherwise, as I said, you know, it doesn't feel relevant, doesn't feel personalised to people, it just feels more overwhelming, and actually engagement then becomes just more noise instead of driving the behaviours that are actually going to make a difference to people's long-term outcomes.
Yeah, I guess when we think about kind of the switch from DB to DC, and you talked about, you know, there are generations of people coming now who haven't had DB. Mm-hmm. And DB, it kind of worked because it was easy for people. They didn't really have to make any decisions whatsoever. I guess with DC, it's different in the sense that we kind of need people to engage in order, once they get into retirement, about kind of what they want. It's about bringing together the behavioral science, the data, the technology, getting that all to work together. Yeah. How are we doing that?
Yeah, so I think that's a really good point. That shift from DB to DC actually puts a hell of a lot more responsibility on the individual. That complexity comes to the surface. So the role that we need to play is actually stripping back that complexity and making it simple. And I always think of it as we need to understand behaviour, we need to recognise the moment, and then we need to respond in the right way to be able to drive that action. So for me, it's three things that are connected together. The first, as I've said quite a lot, is actually deeply understanding how people think, act and behave when it comes to money and their future, so that we can design experiences and communications that are built for that human psychology. The second area is really making it contextual. So using the data to understand those behavioral signals, you know, is someone hesitating? Are they stuck? Are they suddenly engaging more than they used to? So these are really important behavioral signals that can help us understand the best way to show up and where. And then the final one is really around technology. So to be able to scale that insight across millions of our members, you know, to be there with the right message at the right moment in the channels that they trust, it's absolutely critical that we use technology that allows us to adapt, be responsive, and importantly, allows us to kind of measure what's actually happening over time. So I always say that engagement is actually a chain of behaviours. So we often get too focused on one individual communication or one journey. And we actually need to look much longer term in terms of the trends of behaviours that are happening, whether those are having an impact on outcomes and how they're having an impact on outcomes. And that needs to be a learning system. So not a sort of DIY of putting everything together, but an ongoing, evolving learning system. And that's what we've spent a lot of time investing in.
So then, Jenny, how can we as an industry make sure we're doing this responsibly?
Doing it responsibly and doing it well shouldn't sit separate. Long-term savings is really about trust because of that long-term element, because of the types of decisions people are making. So I think the first thing for me is intent, good intent. We should only be using behavioral science, behavioral insight, the data and the technology to help people feel more confident in making better decisions, not pushing people towards outcomes that you know, the provider wants, for example. That's absolutely critical.
Yeah.
The second thing is transparency. So people need to understand how we're using their data. If they're being prompted, if they're being guided or nudged, why are they being prompted, guided or nudged? And that transparency is absolutely critical. And it's important that people feel like they have some level of control over that as well. And what we found consistently is it needs to be value exchange. So we see consistently that people, our members, are very happy to give pieces of information about themselves if it is within a value exchange that gives them something that helps them in this journey. So that's really critically important. And then I think the third one is really about how we design, and how we design for vulnerability and not just for our most confident, financially confident members.
That's because
if you build for the most financially confident member, that's fantastic, great. But that's actually not going to shift the dial. The people that we're trying to reach are actually the people that are struggling more or finding it more overwhelming. We need to have that flexibility in the way that we design so it suits a number of different preferences, behavioral biases, and where people are at within that journey.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And I think what becomes more important actually is in this age of AI, as it is increasingly used, is again, that trust, that transparency, that customer intent is going to be absolutely critical that we get that right and continue to build on strong foundations, strong governance and consent. That's where the trust will come from in this space.
Can I just touch on that AI point? Because I hear from friends and I also hear in the industry that lots of people are using well-known AI tools for planning their retirement. Does that worry you? And what's our role in that? How can we help people?
Yeah, I think as people start to use AI tools more and more increasingly in their financial lives, but more broadly in their lives in general, for ease, for simplicity, you know, what we need to be really mindful of is that a provider may not be one of the first places that someone turns to for support. And so then actually what becomes quite different is the importance of strong foundations in the data that, you know, that people can get hold of the information that they need, that we ensure that that trust continues, even though we might be, for some people, at a further distance than we are now. So these are all the things that we're thinking right now as we are building out our journeys, our experiences. They need to work for an individual coming directly and also someone potentially using AI to support.
Alongside.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Okay. And I think, again, it really comes back to the defining principles that I was talking about making sure that things are simplified, that we're just helping people with the next step versus every single step. Because AI or not, people can still get overwhelmed. They can still not find the information that gives them the confidence to be able to act. So it's going to be absolutely critical that we're constantly building in that way.
So taking those guardrails into account, what's next in technology for DC in your view?
Yeah, so I think members will expect and can expect more digitally responsive and adaptive experiences. I think the kind of strengthening of data and technology in this space means those more connected experiences, not having to tell your provider multiple times the same information, those kind of connected experiences that live with you throughout your lifetime with providers. So I think we're going to see far more of that in the industry. I also think that we're going to see more within the AI virtual assistant space as well. And I think what's important there is actually that we move this beyond just conversations. Good conversations are great, but actually, as we've been talking about, it's the action that's really important.
How does it improve the outcome?
Exactly. And how do you help people to take those simple actions rather than just a conversation about what they might be? Because as we've been talking about, you know, that motivation might be there, but if it's difficult, then it might not happen. And I think the other piece that I always think about is you need to make the right decision, the easiest one for people to make. And so I think we'll see more of that in terms of the technology investment and being able to help people with that. And then I would say the next big thing that is right on the horizon right now is targeted support. So the FCA's targeted support. We have seen consistently that people really want us to be able to go further. And what targeted support will allow us to do is to offer more ready-made suggestions that help people to act with confidence. And we've been highly supportive of the FCA's targeted support review and, you know, we're in there on day one of the permissions to put our permissions in there because we think it will have a fantastic impact for people actually being able to make those confident decisions.
Yeah, that's really great to hear. So, Jenny, we have covered a lot of ground today from a human behavior, data, technology perspective. Thank you very much for helping our viewers get closer to what really matters here. In DC Close Up, we also turn the lens on ourselves. Mm. So what is it that we've been doing at LNG that has been most exciting recently from your perspective in being able to support outcomes for members?
What excites me most is when we get the evidence that shows that our approach is working. So over the last 18 months, we've invested significantly and we are seeing that evidence that our approach is working around connecting behavioral insight, the engagement expertise and technology. But the one area that I would say I'm most proud of is the progression that we've made with our guided digital retirement planning journeys. So this was something that we launched in November 2024. It's a journey that leverages technology to be able to adapt based on the information that we know about the member and also what they tell us as they go through that planning journey. It breaks it down into simple steps. It gives them a more holistic picture of their finances, you know, even looking at the home as an asset as well, or if you're renting, important that is. And the evidence from that is that we've seen a 50% fewer members who are using that journey actually facing into a retirement shortfall.
Oh, great.
Which is phenomenal and something that we want to continue progressing. But it's not just about the end outcome, but also the actions that people are taking. So one in three are completing a full plan. We see one in five take a significant action. So consolidating their pensions, changing their contribution amounts, you know, looking at phasing their retirement, and also importantly, changing a retirement age. And that's something that people often set and forget, or they never set it in the first place. So we're seeing the types of behaviours which will have impact on outcomes, but we're also seeing that reduction, so that 50% reduction in the number of members facing into a retirement shortfall. So that I'm really excited about. We've recently expanded that to younger audiences, and actually we're seeing high levels of engagement, high levels of action in that space. So we're really excited to keep progressing in that space, and targeted support will be part of that going forward.
So Jenny, thanks very much for joining me. That's been a fabulous conversation, a really powerful place to end, I think. What I take away from this is that DC doesn't have to be a DIY system. When it's designed well, it can guide people, build confidence, and help them take action long before decisions become really urgent. That's what DC Close Up's all about, stepping back from the noise, focusing on what really matters, and sharing practical examples of how the industry and how we at LNG are evolving to support better decisions and better retirements. So thank you for joining me, and thank you to everyone for watching. We'll be back soon to get closer to the DC topics that matter to you.